Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. This is the B984B. Bees are always guests, and they usually have great subjects, interesting subjects for us. This is no different. Adam B. Hill is a physician. He's the division chief of pediatric palliative care at one of the great children's hospitals in the country, Riley Hospital for Children, in, I think it's in Indianapolis. It is in Indiana, in any case. It's probably in a suburb of Indianapolis, but we'll find out from Adam Hill. His book that he is going to be talking about, and the subject of it is Long Walk Out of the Woods. It's published by CRP Press. And as I said, Dr. Hall is a pediatrician. I should also tell you that we are sponsored by, as usual, Persona Nutrition. If you're confused about vitamins, Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. You can get supplements and vitamins customized to your need inexpensively. Visit mypersona.com and take the free online assessment, mypersona.com. Dr. Hall, thanks very much for coming on. It's actually Dr. Hill, I should say. Adam B. Hill, HILLMD.com is the website. Dr. Hill, what caused you to write this book?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, and I appreciate the opportunity. You know, I wrote this book. It's a book about my own mental health and addiction story and subsequent recovery because I think so many people struggle with their own mental health and addiction stories that so many lives are touched by facets of, pieces of this same story. And so, you know, I wanted to write a human story that would connect to people that were struggling or suffering, that felt silenced or shamed because of having lived experience, and wanted to hopefully help normalize the conversation that it's okay to seek help and treatment and have parts of these medical conditions as a piece of your life. And there's a lot of, hope in the future and recovery for people who may go through really dark times.
So in telling the story, and I think it's really important to understand, because I think what you're saying is so meaningful, because so many of the stories and books are written of successes, and we don't see the struggles that people go through. And you had a lot of struggles. In fact, while you were starting recovery, you did lose a mentor to suicide. Tell me about that.
That's right. And, we sit in a time and space right now of a national epidemic of suicide and untreated and under-resourced mental health conditions all over the country. And so, I write this book in a time where so many people are suffering and struggling. I've lost actually 6 colleagues to suicide in my career. And the one you refer to, which I write about in the book, was about 3.5 years ago. And I was several years into recovery at the time, but still was living in secrecy and shame and hiding away the truth of my experience, and lost that friend and colleague, and felt like this was the time I felt empowered to speak up and share my voice in a way that hopefully it would reach people that needed to hear a message that it's okay to go through difficult times. And so, it was out of that sadness and tragedy and loss that I really started to love myself and heal even more in my own story by vulnerably sharing it with other people.
And did that hit you? I know from the book, so I'm trying to let our listeners know as well. How did that hit you when you had a mentor commit suicide?
I was called up to this meeting space in this you know, end of a hallway in the hospital floor, and walked in, and 100 people were sitting in there grieving and sobbing and crying. And I, in my own grief and sadness for the loss, also felt really disingenuous and didn't feel authentic to myself, that I wasn't sharing what I had gone through, that maybe, you know, if I did, that it would help people to grieve or to cope in a way that maybe they could understand a little bit better. And so it was complex emotions. I was trying to be a consoler and a helper of other people who are going through it, while I was also navigating my own loss. And, you know, at the end of the day, after weeks and then months of talking and processing and meeting with my wife and family, they really encouraged me and supported me and said, hey, this is the moment and the time that you should stand up and own your story, because it empowers you and makes you who you are today. And it's not something to be ashamed of. And that's when I really started writing and speaking about this openly.
Now, how did your wife take this in general? In other words, this is a disease that affects the whole family, if you will.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking this question. I think it's one of the most important questions. The, you know, this story of the long walk out of the woods is, I'm not the hero of this story. It's my wife, my family, my friends, the people who rallied and supported me with love and unconditional support, but also accountability. And it was difficult. I don't write into the depths of specifics of this in the book, but our marriage was deeply fractured and struggling, and it took years to sort of regain that and regain that trust. And so, and my wife has her own journey of healing and recovery too, of being in Al-Anon and being in, you know, recovery support programs that help her to cope with what I went through and what we went through as a family. And so it is a family disease, and one where I think every individual needs their own support.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Right now, there has been a epidemic of, if you will, addiction. And not as much, I would say, if you will, medical influence on recovery as there is maybe on just trying to stop it in the first place. Where are we in that process, do you think, and why do you think it's happening so much now?
Yeah, it's a complicated question and a really important one. I think for so long we've demonized and criminalized and punished these conditions in a way that coupled with the stigma of treating mental health and addiction stories like moral failings or inferiority or weakness as ones that you should just be tougher or stronger, or that you failed if you, you know, have these conditions. And for so long, and, you know, I fear we continue to do that and in ways that shuns people away from seeking treatment. And then, you know, we exist in a sick care healthcare system that is also not equipped to be able to handle recovery in terms of the resources that are truly needed to help people be successful. And so, you know, I hope that as people share and more openly rewrite the stereotypes and rewrite the, you know, live stories of what it means to live like with addiction and in recovery, that it'll change the narrative in a way that we can be more proactive and preventative, but also invest in the resources needed to get people what they deserve.
So if you look at your story, and I don't know whether it's unique or not, but talk about what makes the book so interesting. And I don't want to say it's a fun read, but it is an engaging read. So tell us why you think it's that way.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to write this story in the most human terms that I can, as one man who has a lived experience of anxiety and depression, who's had things happen in his life that led to a point where I was in active addiction and suicidality and had a plan to end my own life. And so I try not to write it as a medical doctor per se, but as somebody that hopefully a lot of people can identify with the experiences that I've had. At the same point in time, I do work in the medical profession, and I see from an insider perspective the way that we've also stigmatized the patients that we treat. We've stigmatized each other, and how often we don't even believe in the own pathways of treatment and recovery that we prescribe to people on a daily basis, that there are still a lot of obstacles and barriers in the way for medical professionals to seek help and treatment openly. And so I have that perspective as well. And in that, one of the few doctors in the country speaking really openly about being in active addiction recovery while working. And I think that makes this unique in itself. The last thing I'll say
And you're working in a field that one says palliative care. Aren't you exposed to the medicines that are the most addictive?
You know, for me personally, my addiction story was about alcohol. And so, yes, there's truth to be told in terms of access to medications and things, especially in certain subspecialties and medicines that have higher rates of substance use conditions. And that is true. You know, my story and my recovery isn't as influenced by that, but it definitely can be pieces of individual stories. I think more relevant to mine is working in a really salient emotional environment with death and trauma and suffering every day. And instead of letting that weigh me down every day, I have to find daily a purpose and meaning in doing that work so it sustains me, so that I continue to be happy and healthy in my own life while doing really difficult work on a daily basis. And hopefully this book sheds a light on, you know, how far or so far in my recovery I've been able to do that.
We're talking to Adam B. Hill. The website is adambhillmd.com. And as usual, our broadcast is brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can take the free online assessment at mypersona.com and find out whether you're getting everything you need in your nutrition, whether there are things can help you with your specific situation. If you've had bariatric surgery, there's a program there. If you do intermittent fasting, there's a program there. You get to find out what you're missing and what is generally both recommended in a general sense and for you as the individual. MyPersona.com/Roizen, and you help support this podcast, but in addition, you get 50% off on your first order. You can get supplements personalized to you just like I do at MyPersona.com. Back to Adam B. Hill, MD, who is a division chief of pediatric palliative care at Riley Hospital for Children. Dr. Hill, one of the perhaps the the thing that I don't think people appreciate and that you go into the book is the burnout and the effect that is on the medical profession and it, all caregivers, including nurses. And one of the things I'm struck with is lately is the data on caring for people with dementia, where 50% of the caregivers are now dying before the person they're caring for. So the caring professions have this burnout and difficulty. Why do you think it's coming to light now versus, say, 30 years ago? What's different now than what the prior physicians and caregivers went through?
Yeah, I think that we are in a rapidly evolving bureaucratic business model of medicine that a lot of people went into these spaces to be helpers and healers and make a difference in other people's lives and have been stifled and stymied at times to be able to deliver on the promises of, you know, what we always wanted to do by, you know, big business and big pharma and insurance and just the logistics of how you have to practice in today's fast-paced medicine and the cultures of blame and litigation and just the expectations of a modern Western culture that expects, you know, cure at all costs. And so I think it's a complex dynamics of such that have all come into this expectation that of doing more with less and has continued to cause distress in the workforce that really most of us, you know, want to make a human difference on a daily basis and don't feel like we're a resource to be able to do so. I think that's piece of it, but there's also larger complicating factors at play too.
Now, you've worked in Mexico and Belize and Kenya, as well as Tanzania. So you've worked in international medicine as well. There's obviously, I think, less bureaucracy over there. Is there, or internationally, is there less bureaucracy there? And is there more of a passion and reward? Did you feel that way when you were in, for example, Tanzania?
Yeah, you know, my trip there in Africa a couple of years ago, I think there's different expectations of what medicine can do. And although the outcomes, the survival data, the mortality data compared to some of the things like, let's say, leukemia, for example, there, the survivals are still dismal. One of my friends who's a neuro-oncologist at Duke University who invited me to come with her on that trip, you know, is doing incredible groundbreaking work. And so there's still a lot of strides to do in terms of implementing treatment to improve survival. But at the same time, there's just this aura of gratitude of, you know, what medicine can deliver and help that can connect and get delivered to individual people that I think gets lost sometimes in the translation of what we expect of medicine here. And so sometimes it's simpler to be able to do something that has direct meaningful impact in a way that, you know, translates. And so for me, it's grounding, and I love to be able to do that work in a way to also identify, like, what are the logistical barriers and obstacles in the way, and how can we get people what they need in a way that makes sense for their life? And I think, you know, we continue to struggle with that.
I want to thank you very much for participating and being and sharing the story. There's a book that is behind this. It is Long Walk Out of the Woods. It's a very interesting and, I think, engagingly written book by Adam B. Hill. AdamBHillMD.com is the website. You can get more of these podcasts every week. This is 980, I believe it is, and I have just checked, so it is 984B. The B's are always guests of the week. One of my favorite guests in the last year, Kathy Eban, her book, Bottle of Lies. And another one, and by the way, that was 947B, almost a year ago. And last week's by Robert Leinhardt. the ultra-sensitive tests for the dengue virus and how they're developing and improving on tests for the coronavirus, as well as treatments for dengue, corona, and other of what the most difficult to treat and serious viruses are. He was from Rensselaer Polytech Institute and described with elegance the method organic chemistry is using to prevent these viruses from entering cells. Fascinating and beautifully described. If you haven't heard that one, do download it. That's 983B. The A segment's always news of the week, the medical news of the week, and what it means to you. This week we did describe, some of the foods that can help you sleep, what happens with vaping and cigarette smoking together, as well as most teens are tired and stressed and bored in high school, and the difference between now and past years is that the teens, the most positive thing they say is that they're calm in school, not that they're enthusiastic or learning or really enjoying school. I think that means we really have to do a lot to engage the students. Maybe it is that we haven't worked on revising the curriculum enough to talk about the great things that are happening in science. And maybe more of us have to do something about that. Adam Hill's book, Long Walk Out of the Woods, is what we talked about today. We, as usual, are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. I'm really proud to have Persona Nutrition as our sponsor. They, if you will, allow you to do a free online assessment at mypersona.com, and you can get personalized supplements. I get them, and you can too. You can take that free online assessment and get your recommendations at mypersona.com, and a 50% off on your first order at mypersona.com/Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N. They're personalized for you with a morning pack, an evening pack, pretty easy to use. That's what makes it easy for me to get the right things in my nutrition. I want to thank Adam B. Hill, M.D., adambhillmd.com is the website, for participating with us, and especially Joe, our engineer, but really especially you, the listener who's downloaded us. Tell your friends about us. 50,000 of you a week can't all be wrong, so thanks very much for doing that. Do rate us, and we'll be back next week. And I know we have a great guest for next week. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's a special guest, and it will be one of my favorites. He is a he. I guess I'm giving away a little, but he's returning again. So thanks very much, and we'll be back next week. Wonderful guest, and the latest news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks again.